Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Quincy on the Law. My name is Quincy, and we're here for another episode of Quincy on the Law. So today I want us to talk about something a little bit different. I want us to talk about post-judgment care. I call it care because at this stage, you have lost a case. Post-judgment, meaning judgment, a case has been heard and determined, and judgment has been issued. And you are the losing party. What happens in this stage and how can you best approach this issue? Now, there are many types of judgments that can be against you. If it's about land, you can be ordered to be evicted. If it's about a company, it's directorship, you can be ordered out of office. If it's about the illegal holding of shares, then the shares can be transferred to someone else. But in this scenario, I want us to focus on a money decree. This is when the court orders you to pay money over to the plaintiff. It could be any amount of money, from as low as 100 to 300,000 to as much as 1 billion. We saw the other day that National Bank of Kenya was ordered to compensate someone almost 2 billion. So let's cast our legal lenses on a money decree. When you're ordered to pay money over to another party, I know at this stage, this is usually the death of many advocate-client relationships. The client will suspect that maybe they have lost the case due to the ineptness or the incompetence of the advocate. But the client must always remember that the case was based on their facts and the advocate only pled the law. And the case is decided on many variables. It can be decided on the facts, it can be decided on the law, it can be decided on the technicalities, and it can be decided on other considerations. So, what happens when you've lost a case? If you and your advocate's relationship is strong enough and you decide to take it with grace, you can decide to appeal. An appeal in many scenarios should be lodged within 30 days. But there's some special, not really special, but unique statutory provisions that provide for a shorter period. So if you're going for an appeal, then of course you would want to seek for something called a stay of execution. This is basically an order that prevents the winning party from executing the fruits of the judgment as against you, pending the hearing and determination of your appeal. So this application can be made at the court which issued the judgment or before the appellate court which you will be seeking to argue your appeal. I don't want to go into the legalities of it, but it's tempting. Let's just consider, perhaps, you see, the winner of the appeal has the right to execute the judgment. They have the right to the fruits of the judgment, the winner of the case at the court of first instance, and the appellant has the right to appeal. He has the right to challenge the decision of the court of first instance. So we have a position where two rights are cast against each other, and so the court or the civil procedure rules, they cut the baby in half. For you to get a stay of execution, there's a criteria that you have to meet. And for you to meet that criteria, one of the, it's usually the first, you have to show that you have an arguable appeal, that you're going to be subjected to substantial loss, and that you've provided security for costs. Now, security for costs is the court may order that you pay over half of the decretal sum to the winning party, or you deposit half of the decretal sum to a joint account between the two advocates, or you deposit half of the decretal sum in court. So, depending on whether you can achieve that, you can meet that threshold, you would choose that. At this stage, of course, the winning party will be considering options for execution. Execution is a term in law meaning to proceed and gain the fruits of the judgment from you forcefully. They can instruct auctioneers. The auctioneers can go to court and get something that we call warrants of attachment of movable property or immovable property. That's something like land. So if they know you have property somewhere, they can come and attach it and sell it at a public auction. If the winning party knows that of any of your bank accounts, they can make a garnishee application, meaning it's an application filed in court seeking to compel your banks to disclose how much is in their accounts and turn it over to the winning party. The winning party might decide to put you in civil jail for a maximum of 6 months. The many modes of execution, I've not even talked about all of them. But now, let's say you decide to settle the case. You're taking it with grace. You're like, okay, we fought a good fight. It was honorable. I've lost honorably, and I don't mind settling. In some cases, losing honorably may mean that they came to court suing you for, let's say, 2 million, but you end up being ordered to pay 400,000. In the circumstances, if you weigh it on the scales of equity, that's a partial win. So let's say you decide to settle the case. What do you do next? When it comes to settlement, you give your advocate over the money to pay it over to the other party. If you can't afford it, there's the option of asking the court for installments. You can actually ask the court to settle the disputed sum in installments. I've done this before many times, but you will need a proper advocate so that they can adduce the proper evidence before the court so that you can meet the threshold. It's not easy to meet the threshold for the court to order that the disputed sum be settled in installments. There's a threshold to be met. It is to be found in the Civil Procedure Rules. It is to be found in the Small Claims Court Act. Basically, you must show that you can't afford the judgment, and you must bring forth evidence to show this. It's a very, very high criteria. I've tried it quite a number of times. At the start, I usually failed, but nowadays I get it because I meet the criteria. But it also means exposing yourself. So it's a double-edged sword, eh? It's like the sword of Damocles hanging over your head. You need this remedy, but you know. Anyway, so that'll be all for today. I just wanted to talk about basic civil procedure, and I hope you got something. I look forward to the next episode. This is Quincy, and this is Quincy on the Law. Please subscribe for more.